They march in solidarity to remember what they have tried to forget. One story that's stuck with me, heard second or third hand, and it's far from unique, is of someone who fought in the Second World War. And every year, round Remembrance Sunday, just in the days leading up and the days after, this man would retreat to his house. And he would sit in silence in his chair. And the family knew better than to ask what was on his mind. What was he thinking about? They knew that he had been in the Far East. They knew that he had seen stuff that was tormenting him still. He wouldn't go to a Remembrance Sunday service. That was just way too painful. And the more he tried to forget, I suspect, the more he remembered. And so this morning, we're thinking about what it means to remember. We have thought about the importance of remembering in our actions. We stood in silence as a way of remembering. But we're going to think about what does it mean when we say God remembers. In the psalm, we heard the phrase, "He remembers his covenant forever." And so what I want you to do, just as you're sitting there, is just I'm going to give you a moment to pause, and I want you to deliberately exclude the past month, and then think of something in the past year that has made an impact on you. Leave out the last month, but think about the last year, and what comes to mind when I ask you that question? What is it that you remember? For some of you, that will have been good stuff. For some, it will have been difficult stuff. For some, it will be just a moment, a brilliant experience. For some, it will have been something traumatic. But what remembering does is actually, it reassures. Remembering reassures. Remember we heard the statistics of Passchendaele earlier on, hundreds of thousands, and the utter futility of it for just a relatively small advance. And as those men, and it would have been men at that time, went out over the trenches, they probably didn't think about whether they'd been remembered. They'd be too scared. They just went out automatically. But actually, it's the enormity of the figures that mean that 100 years later, we have remembered that anniversary. The enormity of it all is why it has stuck with us. And so the irony is, because they were one in hundreds of thousands, they seemed irrelevant. But because they were one in a vast number, we remember them. And in the psalm, we read the phrase, "He remembers his covenant forever." Now, let me explain a little bit about what the covenant was. It was a promise that God gave to his people. He said, "I will be your God, and you'll be my people." And thousands of years ago, God spoke to a man called Abraham and said to him, "Do you know what, Abraham? Here's the promise I'm going to make to you. You will have descendants as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore, as numerous as the stars in the sky." And in a sense, each grain of sand loses its identity. Each star, unless you're a real Darrow Breen or whoever star spotter, just melds into one. But it's the enormity that gives them their significance. And so the first thing that we remember is that actually the fact that God remembers reassures. God made a promise, and people who follow Jesus today believe that they're part of that promise still, and that reassures that God hasn't forgotten. He is the God who remembers. There's something reassuring about being remembered. We all want to be remembered. Do you remember me? Mom, I'm here. Come on. There's a saying in our family, and the genesis of it is just too difficult to explain. What about my head? In other words, what about me? I want to be remembered. Remembering is important because remembering gives comfort. It reassures. And the fact that God remembers is the comfort in which we gather today. God said he remembers his covenant. This was hundreds of years after this covenant had been given. So God remembers. But also, to remember is to care. There's a beautiful picture in the Bible that tells us that before we were in the womb, God knew us. And while we were being formed in the womb, God knew us. And then Jesus picks up a bit of different detail of that picture and says, every hair of your head is numbered. So I'm going to challenge you to do something just now. I want you to look round to the person next to you, the person in front of you. Don't worry whether they've got a full head of hair or they're bald. And if you're bald, please don't be embarrassed. And I want you to sit there and count. Go on. Count the hairs in the head. How are you getting on? Is anybody up to 50 yet? Up to 100? Okay. You need to quit now because actually the service needs to end before tomorrow morning. But it's a ludicrous thing, isn't it? Imagine somebody saying, go on, count the hairs in the head of the person next to you. You can't do it. And yet that picture that Jesus gives is even the hairs in your head are numbered. In other words, God's care for us is so amazing, so big, that you can't put an end to it. There's no way of putting a kind of stop to it. God cares. And so to be remembered is to be cared for. Imagine if a parent forgot their child. We've all had that kind of, you name a list and then you put all the names there. And you leave somebody's name off. And oh, big trouble. But we're reassured that God remembers us. He cares for us. And so to be remembered is to be cared for. And then, remembering gives significance to the tomb of the unknown soldier. And of course, nobody knows the name of the person who was buried there. But thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have seen that. And if you go to many of the war cemeteries, you'll find a grave stone which says, here lies an unknown soldier, but known to God. And where they don't know who was buried there, at the bottom of the gravestone, it's but known to God. And so, somebody who seems unknown, unimportant, didn't matter enough to know their name, we're told God knows them. God knows every detail about us. And so when the Bible tells us God remembers, That reassures us. Because the reason that you're important, the reason I'm important, is not because of how brilliant we are, because we're brilliant singers, because we're brilliant footballers, because we're brilliant this or that. But it's actually because God cares enough and remembers us and knows every detail known to God. So God remembers. That's our first part. And yet, forgetting. They march in solidarity to remember what they have tried to forget. I want you to do something scary to your neighbor. I'm going to ask you to talk to them. That's scary enough, perhaps, for a start. But what I want you to do is to try and guess something that you remember that they might have forgotten. Okay? So, I want you to say, have you remembered that? Have you remembered that? And if they have a look of alarm, you've done them a favor because they had forgotten. And if they're okay, then you're fine. So, say, try and remember something and say, have you remembered that? For example, the clocks went back on whatever day. Okay, I haven't seen anybody running out of the church, so nobody has said, have you remembered that the oven's due to be switched off 10 minutes ago? So we're fine on that one. But have you remembered that? Forgetting is sometimes scary, but actually forgetting is sometimes a positive thing. The second reading that we had was that God has blotted out our sin. God has deliberately forgotten. And do you know why? The first reason is, we're told, for his own sake. God has forgotten for his own sake. You and a friend have fallen out. The last time you had a conversation, both of you said horrible things to one another. And every time you think of that person, all you remember is the horrible things. And what does that do to you? Does it make you feel good? Of course it doesn't. It churns you up inside. It makes you think, oh no, how am I going to speak to them? Or what a horrible person that they are. And actually, you're remembering that doesn't do you any good. And so sometimes we have to forget for our own sake. And the Bible tells us God forgets the sin that we have done for his own sake. The Bible tells us God chooses to forget our sin for his sake. Why? Because sin, which is putting stuff in God's place, damages him so much or hurts him so much. But he says, for my own sake, I forget sin. So God chooses to forget for his own sake. But also, another reason to forget stuff is to repair relationships. Whenever you have that argument, if every time you meet, you bring up that argument, your friendship's not going to survive long. If every time your pal tells you, do you remember that time you picked me last for the football team? Do you remember that time whenever you got me in trouble? If every time you do that, you're not going to be pals for very long. Because they're just going to say, I can't be bothered with you if that's all you're going to talk about. And so you need to forget stuff to repair relationships. And the reason God chooses to forget our sin is because sin, the wrong stuff that we do, the wrong attitudes, putting stuff in the place that belongs to God, actually has broken our relationship with God. It damaged our relationship and continues to damage it. And that's why God says, I have to do something about it. But here's the tricky thing. To forget requires action. It's a deliberate act to forget. Most, in one sense, when you forget about the potatoes, that's not a deliberate act. But when you choose to forget something that somebody has done against you, that is deliberate. And it requires action. The verse says, I will blot out their transgressions. It's an activity. And the way that God does that, the way that God has done that, is by sending Jesus so that he could die, so that our sin could be blotted out. And if you're going to forget stuff, that's a deliberate act. And God loves us so much that he has taken that deliberate act and said, I want to be able to forget about their sin, but I can't say it doesn't matter. And so he sent his son. And if we want God to forget about our sin, we need to say, I want to be included in the forgotten about stuff. I want to be remembered, and I want my sin to be forgotten about. And that's what God promises to do. I am he who blots out your transgressions, that's a longer word for sin, for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Today, we come to a God who says, I haven't forgotten you, I remember you. But if you're willing, I've made the choice to forget your sins. We come and remember. But actually, as we remember, we understand too that to make the deliberate choice to forget, the fact that God has made the deliberate choice to forget, is good news. And so he says, come to me. Come. Come so that I can blot out your sins. Acknowledge that you're remembered so that the stuff you've done can be forgotten. Let's pray together. Almighty God, it is so reassuring to know that we are remembered by you. That it is that that gives us significance, that reminds us that we are cared for. But thank you too that you have made the deliberate decision to forget our sin for your own sake, to repair the damaged relationship. And so, that we could be your people. Help us to take you up on your offer. In Jesus' name. Amen.